Chapter 5, verse number 22, we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We're preaching through the book of Galatians. We preached a couple of Sundays ago on love. We preached the last Sunday on joy, and this week we're preaching on peace. Amen. And boy, I tell you, it's a big subject. You guys go ahead and get that stuff up on the board, because we are got a lot of ground to cover, and here we go. Lord, help us preach today for your glory's sake, in Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I want to say this, that if you're here today in this building and you're not saved, you're lost, and you're one heartbeat away from hell. They sung that song, Throw Out the Lifeline. And that's what any church ought to be doing. And I'm telling you right now, we need an old-fashioned, old-time Holy Ghost burden for souls. If you're listening online, I'm telling you right now, dying and going to hell is a horrible, terrible, unthinkable, unimaginable, sorrow and wicked thing. And we want you to be saved. And you can be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, turning to God and believing on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for you in your place. And I know something this morning, you're never going to have peace till you do that. It's impossible to have peace without Jesus Christ. But found out last week or two that from love, and you get joy. And then the next thing the Holy Ghost does is put peace in your heart. And it comes from God the Holy Spirit. Now the Bible said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Mark this down or write it down in your soul. You are not going to get peace from any place except the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. That's where it comes from. You're not getting it through a bottle. You're not getting it through a pill. And you're not getting it through anything else. You can't even get it through church. You've got to get it from the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Amen. Can't get it anywhere else. Now, the first thing about it is we want to talk about peace is salvation. And the peace with God. And so I want you to take it. Well, we'll look at this a little bit later. But we'll talk about the first mention of Genesis 15 there. We're going to get into that just a little bit, and we'll hang on to that, but we'll talk about salvation. Now, there in salvation, when you're born again, you have peace with God. In sanctification, you have the peace of God. Now, the peace of God comes after you've got peace with God. But you only can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. Until then, you're alienated from God, you're an enemy of God, and you're separated from God, and you need to be reconciled to God, and that only comes and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's just the way it is. Now, there's some realms of peace, and I want to talk very quickly tonight about this morning about some realms of peace. Let me tell you something, this country's in turmoil. This country is on the verge of eruption, just by whether you understand that or not. I mean, this thing, we got a volcano boiling down inside. And I will tell you this, there is an element of people in this country who are not going to be satisfied. They're either going to rule or ruin one of the other, this country. That's down. They're either going to be conquered or conquer. And I'm telling you something, this election is a lot more important than you may think. But first of all, let me just tell you, in spite of what all the world may or may not be doing, you need and I need personal peace. You can have peace in the midst of a storm. Jesus was with the disciples on the storm. And Jesus taught them how to have peace in the midst of the storms of life. And I'm going to say, personal, if you're going to have personal peace, you've got to have peace with God. I was in church for 28 years, and I never had peace with God till the night I was born again of the Spirit of God. When I come to God as a broken, guilty sinner, repentant of my sin, placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, instantly the Spirit of God gave me peace with God. And I laid my head on my pillow that night, knew if I died, I'd be in heaven because of what Jesus did, not because of how good I am. I was trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And secondly, let me say this. You need personal peace not only with God, but you need peace with yourself. Now, you listen to me this morning. I'm preaching stuff in the Bible. The way to have peace with yourself is to have a good conscience. Paul said that he worked to have a good conscience toward God and man. You're not going to have, you may be saved, but if you don't have a good conscience, you will not have personal peace in the sense within yourself. You can be saved, but in a state of turmoil, you have peace with God. You're saved through the grace of God through Jesus Christ, take a sacrificial work. But if you've been violating your conscience, tell me, young people, if you're sneaking around and you're living wickedly and trying to hide from God, your parents and stuff, you ain't got no peace. I tell you, you ain't got no peace. If you're crooking and hooking and lying and cheating in business and so forth and all that kind of junk, you're violating your conscience. You will not have peace and you'll wonder what's wrong. And I'm just telling you right now, the Bible teaches to have a good conscience before God and man. And if you've got stuff that's keeping you from having personal peace inside within yourself, go fix stuff. I'm just telling you, it's just that simple. It's not complicated. You don't need a psychologist. You don't need a Christian counselor. If your conscience is bothering you, about things you've done or said or whatever it may be. Maybe you owe somebody a bill. Maybe, I realize there's things you can't fix. I understand that. But as much as life in you, try to get things fixed. Clear your conscience. Christianity is an inward thing. And the beauty of it and the power of it is that God wants you to have not just peace with him through Christ, but he wants you to have inward peace so you can lay your head on the pillow tonight, so you can meet people on the road and not your conscience pricking you all the time about how you've done them. Don't do people dirty. Do right. Keep your conscience clear. Don't cheat people. That's good preaching. I don't care. It's the Bible. And I'm telling you right now, one of the greatest keys is, now I'm just going to tell you right now, if you've lied on somebody, you've gossiped on somebody, you've defiled somebody, you've sown discord, you need to get that fixed or you're not going to have peace. And the more you hide that and cover that up, the worse it, you're going to put on the outward deal. And it's going to get worse till the building collapses and it's going to be a big mess. I'm just telling you right now. Then you have peace within yourself. By the way, just think about this, Herod. Jesus was doing all the miracles and stuff, came on the scene. You know what he said? It's John the Baptist. I cut his head off. He's come back from the dead. What was wrong with Herod? His conscience was eating him up. Your conscience will eat you up. I'm telling you, if we could just get ourselves where our conscience was right and it was clear and clean inside, we could enjoy our Christianity. I'm honest with you. And I'm going to tell you what, everything can be falling around down, but you still got joy, you still got peace because of your conscience is clean. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't, whatever you do, don't let Satan trap you and say, well, if I did, people find out I'm not near as holy as I act like. Well, get off that. Ain't none of us in this building holy, holy, holy. We all mess it. Hey, Owen, God bless you guys. Congratulations to you. Bless your heart. I'm sorry I missed your deal, but they said it really was good without me. That's great, man. I'm glad for you. Boy, I tell you what, I had a good wedding yesterday. Hey, 2 weeks from yesterday. Is that 2 weeks from yesterday, Livia? 3 weeks. November 7th, ain't it? Okay, November 7th. The election will be over. Everything else will be over. We'll either be a free country or headed to civil war. I don't know what, but anyway, they're going to get married. I'm glad for all these kids getting married. Amen. It's a blast. But anyway, his conscience was messed up. He thought that's John the Baptist come back from the dead. When you're having that kind of conscience trouble, you're in a mess. Then also have personal peace with other people. The Bible says this, as much as life in you. Boy, I'm glad it said that. I'm glad it said as much as life in you. Live peaceably with all men. Because sometimes there ain't much lying in there. Amen. There's some people you cannot live with peace in them. I've seen married people. They ain't never going to have peace because they're both just a couple wildcats. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. Not at peace with this world, not at peace with wickedness, but we're at war. Actually, as Christians, we're soldiers. Be sure you understand the thing about peace. Then the second thing, aside from personal peace, there's marital peace. And I tagged on that just a little bit there. I want to tell you something. The Bible said that husbands ought to dwell with your wives according to knowledge. That means you're supposed to understand women. How many men in here understand women? I was going to write a book on that. How to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. I guarantee you sell a million copies. And then I was just going to leave the inside pages blank as could be. Amen. I don't have a clue. But I want to tell you something. Listen. The Bible said here a week or two ago, seemed like every time I turned around, I was looking at my Bible and said, live joyfully with wife, thy youth. Live joyfully with wife, thy youth. Yeah, yeah, God, I got it. Yeah, yeah, live joyfully with wife, thy youth. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. We need marital peace. Your kids need to see mom and dad at peace. How many has ever seen a couple that just snap at each other all the time? But then you get on them about snapping at each other and they turn on you. That's why I don't like marriage counseling. I don't do it, amen. I'll tell you, my marriage and counselors lock you. If you can't get along, I lock you up in a cell until you decide you're going to get along. If I was a judge and you came before me wanting a divorce, I'd say, okay, that's fine. Let's just go to jail for 6 months. And put you both in the same stupid cell. Well, you'll start getting along to get out of here. I guarantee you will. You can have peace if you want it. You don't have to be a snapping turtle dad. You don't have to be a nagging mother. What was old Brother Ronnie Simpson said one time? Something about, I better watch this. Something about, said, you be a nag. He said, if you want your wife to be a thoroughbred, said, you don't be treating her like a nag. But anyway, something like that. I can't do it like he did. But I'm going to tell you this much. Husbands that love their wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. Amen. Wives to be submission to your husband as unto the Lord. Amen. They're both in the Bible. And I'll tell you what, you're going to have to be meek a little bit, and somebody's going to have to be the head of the house. But when you're the head of the house, you're going to have to be gracious and humble and listen to appeal and have an open spirit and say, honey, you can talk to me if you need to. And, and express some kindness and all that kind of stuff. And get up and fix your breakfast in bed and all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what some of you need to do. You need to take a great big, I want to give you a project for tomorrow night. Get your wife, sit down in an easy chair, go get steaming hot bowl of water, big dish pan of water, put some Epsom salt into it, and take her shoes off and wash your wife's feet. Moving on. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. I have never met a woman who's mad at a man washing her feet in Epsom salt water. Boy, I mean, it's quiet in this place. Don Zinn said it, moving on. Anyway, every once in a while you need to read the book of Song of Solomon. That's the way, you don't need to be watching no pornography. Just read the book of Song of Solomon and you'd be holiness about that. Amen? I'll tell you what, you need a little romance in your life. Amen? Need some romance. Amen. And then not only marital peace, but family peace. And I'll tell you something, we're going to get into this a little bit later on the board here, but only to the degree of righteousness, and it's difficult, but you need peace in the family. Kids need to grow up with a peaceful home, amen? And then, oh my goodness, we need to have church peace. It makes me love everybody. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're going to go to church, you know what God's going to set you up with? He's going to set you up with friction and strife and all kinds of, God's going to let you learn how to love people that are very difficult for you to love. See, mark it in your day book. And if you think you're going to find some little lovey-dovey church where everybody loves each other all the time and they're just hunky-dory, you're going to find out, some of you new people think this is the greatest place on earth. You're going to find out this is a last stop before hell. Amen. Now you listen to me. You got to learn to love people in spite of them. You got to learn to love the preacher in spite of him. That's the truth. If you don't, you ain't gonna work out. But I'm gonna tell you something. We can have peace in church, and if you don't, I'll tell you what. I'll throw a songbook at you. No, you got to be meek. You got to let it go. You know what I do? I just keep my focus. They come and they go and they come and they go and they come and they go and they get mad and they get glad and they get glad and they get glad, and I'm just going to come up here Sunday morning and keep preaching. And that's what you need to do. Just keep coming to church. They're going to come and they're going to come and they go and they come and they go and they get mad and they're going to get glad, and you just need to keep coming to church. And if you don't learn that, anyway, then we need national peace. And I'll tell you what, we need to pray for that. And then world peace. Let me just tell you about world peace. There ain't going to be no world peace till the Prince of Peace comes. Mark that down in your day book. The Bible said, now let's get up if you want to write a few things down, how to have peace in 2020, Romans 15:13, having peace in believing. You can have peace in believing, okay? Now that's not up there yet, but if you want to write these down, you know how you're going to have peace? Don't start right here in the Bible, that you can have peace in believing. You start believing God's word, I'm talking about not just say it's true, believe it. You believe the promises of God. Believe that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Believe that he'll provide all your needs according to his riches and glory. I'm telling you something. Believe that he saved you. Believe that he gave you eternal life. Believe that he went to prepare a place for you. You start believing and you'll start having some peace. Then I want you to know this. There's peace and purpose. If you're doing the will of God for your life, there's peace in that. But if you're just always chasing your rabbit, probably not going to have much peace. But if you'll say, Lord, I want to know your will and I will do your will, and you get into God's purpose in your life, there'll be peace there. I'm talking about how to have peace in 2020. Number three, there's peace and contentment. If you're going to always be coveting things you don't have, you'll never be peaceful. If you get satisfied and content with such things you have, you can have peace. I'm serious with you. I'm telling you what, the older you get, the more you know you don't need near as much. Amen. You don't need near as much. I'm telling you what, contentment. God, it was great gain, the Bible said. Contentment with godliness is great gain. I'm telling you right now, the constant discontent in America is keeping people from having peace. If you're not at peace with what you've got, you won't be at peace with what you want. And then there's, I'm trying to run. And then there's peace in having a good conscience. We talked about that a while ago. And then there's peace in the truth. And I want to tell you this much. You have to have truth in the inward parts to have peace. If you don't have, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. You want peace? Get honest and stay with truth and be in truth. All right. Then the next thing, if you want to have peace in 2020, is peace with standing and in strength. Stand for what's right and there'll be peace. You know, I never will forget my dad. I got in trouble when I was about 13 years old at school. And my dad, and I told my dad what happened. And this is what he said to me. He said, son, if you're telling me the truth, I'll stay with you till it's over. But if I find out, if I go up there and I find out from that teacher that you've lied to me, you'll never have had a worse enemy. And I'll tell you, everybody needs a daddy like that. That'll get you to thinking whether you've told the truth or not. And I'm telling you something, but you know what? You can lay down a hit, and if you know you've told the truth, if you've been honest about things, you can sleep, peace, you don't care. You're not worried about gossip. You're not worried about all the talk out here. You're not worried about all the junk. As long as you know there's truth inside. Behold, thou desirest truth in the end. And then there's peace and acceptance of who you are. This is probably one of the worst things I know of going on in America right now. People are not happy with who they are. They're not happy how God made them. I'm not happy. I'm short. I'm not happy. I'm tall. I'm not happy this. I'm not happy that. I don't like the color of my hair. I don't like this and I don't like that. Not happy about how God made you. And this whole world will keep you discontented and tore up all the time because you're not happy about how you look. One of the biggest things that takes peace away from people is not accepting how God made you to be. Don't let Hollywood and this world make you think how you're supposed to look, act, dress, and anything else. Amen. Be at peace with who you are. Yep. I mean, just be honest about it. Why do we constantly, I mean, that's what fads are all about and fashions are all about. They play upon your discontent. And they know most people have not accepted who they are. And let me just tell you something. God made you. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth right well. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to be like everybody else. I just want to be me. I just want to be, hey, the greatest person you'll ever be is you. And if you're not going to be content with who you are, I'll tell you what, you're not going to have any peace. Just always going to be looking, well, I need to do this, and I need to buy that, and I need to start doing this. I need to have that, and I need to look like that. And it's just craziness. And you're never going to be content. You're never going to have any peace. You want peace in 2020? Accept who you are. Let me just tell you something. I had to do this. You know, Bill, there's some advantages to being tall, except when you sleep in regular sized beds. Amen. Then you got to sleep at catty corner. But I've got a long nose. I don't know why God didn't put a nice little pretty nose on me. Looks to me like he'd have shoved that thing anyways. When I was in school, did you know what some of my buddies used to make fun of me? He got the biggest nostrils in school. What am I going to do? Get mad at God? What you messed up with me? My teeth. They look pretty good now because they're not very real. They've been broke and patched and covered and all kinds of stuff. But I never had one of them, you know, toothy smiles. You smile and everybody goes, oh, he's so handsome. And I'm going to tell you, I feel so sorry for girls in America because they're just constantly showboated to Hollywood. You know, you're supposed to look like this and act like this and dress like this. And if you don't, you're nothing. That's stupidity. That's craziness. Amen. You are something God made. Amen. Amen. And I tell you, don't want to be like them sorry, low-down, bought and paid for hussies out there. We got to go on. Accept God's design. Accept God's will for your life. Accept God's way for your life. And then there's peace in God's promises. Boy, I tell you what, again, if you can just have peace in the promises of God. Now, I know I'm maybe, but there's, I'm going to tell you another place there's real peace in 2020, and that's in humility. I wonder who named Humble, Texas. I mean, you would get to thinking about that. I wonder who the person was that named that town Humble and why they wanted to name it Humble. Can I tell you something? There is no peace in pride. But if we'll be humble before Almighty God, there's peace there. There's peace in dying to yourself. And let me just tell you this. I have to try to die to myself. Yesterday, I had to just say, Reggie, die to it, die to it, die to it, die to it. There's always something always coming on all the time. You ought to try to be a pastor sometimes. Anyway, and you just have to die to it. It's not about me. Just die to things. The Bible says to die to ourselves, to crucify the flesh, to die. Paul said, I die daily. Die to some stuff. There's peace instead of turmoil. There's peace and quietness and keeping our mouths shut. You know what James chapter 3, that great chapter about the tongue, says the tongue's, you know, deadly poison, it's set on fire of hell and all that kind of stuff. At the end of it, it talks about peace. Confusion is what brings. I'm going to tell you right now, the more we talk, the less peace we have. Anyway, all right, we're going to look at these verses and run. We've got about 18 minutes and we're going to run through these verses. This first mention of peace in the Bible. I'd encourage you to write these verses down, take them home this week and study them. Watch this. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. This is what God wants for you. This is the first mention. We'll tell you the basic theme about a subject in the Bible. God wants you to die in peace. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you going to go to your fathers in peace? That's what God wants for you. Sin just brings turmoil, chaos, I mean craziness. Give me the next verse and let's roll. Now, this is big. The next time you see peace mentioned in the Bible is Leviticus chapter 3, verse 1, where nobody wants to read. And you know what it's about? It's about the peace offering. There's the offerings of God, the five offerings. That offering is a peace, one of those offerings is a peace offering, and what it has to do with that Jesus Christ and of his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering. What it does, it teaches about Jesus Christ becoming our sacrifice, our offering, and satisfying the just demands of the holy God. And so what you get into here is this thing that it pictures Christ's work at Calvary that brings us peace with God. This is the biggest issue God wants you to deal with, because every other element of peace you cannot even think about getting to until you've dealt with this thing of peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He made peace in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20, if they've got that. If you take time to read that, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this thing of the offering, but the whole thing is this. The peace offering was that Jesus offered himself as our peace offering, and here's what happened. The just demands of the holy God were satisfied. He was propitiated. That means he was satisfied with what Jesus did for you and I on the cross. And the sinner then is forgiven, and the sinner is reconciled to God, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's what I want to get across this. Not trying to have a lesson on Leviticus right now, but God is saying this. If you want to go to your fathers in peace, you can only go through him in peace through the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice. That's what your Bible is teaching you. That makes sense? That's it. Now, the Bible teaches this. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to what? Reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, Ephesians 2:7, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were not. That's what Jesus Christ's gospel message is. It's a message of peace to you and I through his deal. Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace. I'm just telling you can't have peace without him. In him. That's where your peace is. Go right ahead, guys, and just keep a rolling here. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 4:8, I will both, watch this now. Now we're going to get in. Now here's the thing I want you to do. There is a judicial peace with God through Jesus Christ. And what God wants is that to manifest itself in practical peace in your life. I'm in happy mood this morning, okay? But the truth about it is, folks, everywhere around you, there's turmoil, chaos, trouble, everywhere. And let me just tell you something. I'm going to give you something. Now, I'm going to use an illustration of this, but it's true. When my children were home, and I believe if you asked them, they would say, he's telling you the truth. One thing I would not put up with is them fighting each other, picking on each other. And they'd get a whooping faster over that, destroying peace among themselves. If you want to get me ticked off as a pastor, you just start doing some little junk that destroys peace in this church. And me and you are going to be on the opposite sides of things real fast. That's the last thing we need here.
Right.
Amen. We're not at war with each other.
Amen.
I thought we was all on the same team.
Yeah.
I think we're fighting the same devil.
Yeah.
And churches need to get this down. That doesn't mean that we don't have disagreements, all that kind of stuff. But it means we ought to seek peace and ensue peace and try our best not to cause chaos and trouble and so forth like that, whether it's in your family. Because I'm going to tell you something. If your kids, you cannot have peace in your home if your kids are fighting all the time. Okay. All right. He said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. David knew, I'm too talking about, if you read the context of that, everybody was after him. Next thing, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. God wants you to have peace, not just peace with him, but practical peace in your daily life. Let me tell you something. If everything fell apart on you tomorrow, can you still have peace and knowing that God is still in control no matter what's happened? So depart from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. Keep rolling. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That speaks toward the millennial reign. Psalms 85:10, mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That happened at the cross of Calvary. Righteousness and peace kissed each other at Calvary. Then Psalms 119:165. I don't live up to this, but it's still in the Bible. Great peace of they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You want to have peace? Don't get offended real easy. But if everything everybody says is going to offend you, you're never going to have practical peace, all right? For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. That's the wisdom of God. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. And the high way of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Go ahead. For unto us a born a child is given, and its government should be upon his shoulders. Name of God, wonderful counselor, mighty God, the everlasting one, the prince of peace. And please understand this. Know this, know this, know this. No president, no Congress, no Senate, no court, and nobody's going to bring peace to this world till Jesus Christ comes back. United Nations cannot bring peace. Amen. Okay, go ahead. Isaiah, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You want peace? Quit thinking about garbage all day long. I was going down the road this morning, the devil tried to throw a fire dart at my head, and I started singing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. Watch this. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Good stuff. Then Hezekiah said, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken before. He said, moreover, there shall be peace and truth in my days. Now, here we go. This is a whole different deal. Satan has a counterfeit peace to offer you. If you'll just compromise and sell out to him and quit standing, he'll let you have some peace. Old Hezekiah there, he didn't care what's going to happen to his kids as long as there's peace and truth in his day. Isaiah 48, oh, that thou hearkened unto my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river. And thy righteousness. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings, that publish peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That's what we want to be at this church. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. If you're here today and you're lot saved, there is no peace for you. You cannot have peace. Only comes from God. They have healed also the hurt of my daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. This is the danger of preaching a modernistic gospel. This is the danger of politics, saying that man's going to bring peace in. Go ahead. And this is talking about the Antichrist. One of the things that will happen, start of the tribulation, is he's going to bring a false peace into this world. He's going to try to mimic what Jesus Christ done. Go ahead. Now, I'm not sure how that and there got in there. Okay, here it is. Now, everybody get a hold of this. This is where I wanted to get to. Jesus said to his disciples this, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. But wait a minute. When he was born, didn't the angels say peace on earth and goodwill toward men? God was going to offer the kingdom at that time, and they rejected it. And there'll be peace when Jesus comes, and there'll be goodwill on earth, but not until he's reigning as the Messiah in Jerusalem. Now watch this. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Watch this. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Wait a minute. I thought if you said if I'd get saved and live for God, I'd have peace. You'll have peace with God. But let me just tell you something this morning. And this is where some of you need to really grab on this. This has been a tough one for me. I'm working on a message titled this, Lovest Thou Me More Than These? Jesus asked Peter, Lovest Thou Me More Than These? And let me tell you where Satan knows how to destroy your practical peace. Satan knows, watch this, that a son, generally speaking, wants to have peace with his father. A father generally wants to have peace with his son. Satan knows that, generally speaking, a mother wants to have peace with her daughter and the daughter with the mother. This in-law business, I don't know about it. But here's what God is telling you, that if you continue to walk with God, there is extremely high probability that your stand and your walk with Jesus is going to be attempted to be compromised. And if you don't compromise, it's going to set your family apart. This is not preached on very much, and it should be. And here's why. You got saved. You want to live for the Lord. You have joy of the Lord. You love people. And then all of a sudden, some things, you know, that you stand for, family members don't agree with you. And there's a wedge comes in there. And then it gets worse. And then here comes the devil. Well, if you as a Christian, why don't you get along with your own family? You must be fake. You're not right with God. What kind of stuff is, if this is Christianity, who would want anything like this? When your Savior told you, are you listening to this? Watch this. I, Jesus Christ, am come to set a man at variance against his father. Your faith may cost you peace with your family. Go ahead, get some more verses. He arose, rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. God can give you peace in the midst of your storms of life. I'm telling you, he can. Keep trucking. To give light to them that set in darkness, shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Go ahead. Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Again, peace in the future. Suppose you that I'm come to get peace on the earth, nay, I tell you, but rather division. What? If I'm having division, how am I having peace? Everybody getting hold of this? Having peace in 2020 does not mean that you're getting along with everybody. And you don't need to feel bad because you're not. I know it grieves you. I know it hurts you. I know it's painful. It hurts. And somehow or another, it seemed like the devil comes into the side and says, well, if you was a Christian, if this is Christianity, and you can't even get along with your own family. But your Lord told you so. Everybody got this one? Now, don't take this and get self-righteous. Say, bless God, I'm right about everything, and my family members are wrong about everything. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, if you stood for what's right, let me throw one at you. Your daughter moved in with a guy she's not married. You love her. It's Thanksgiving. She texts you. Mom, You having Thanksgiving dinner? Yeah. You coming? Yeah. She comes. She comes dragging him with her. She's been taught against that. She knows that's not right. You never was for that kind of thing. She didn't say, I'm bringing Bojo with me. My live-in. She just brings him. What she's doing is testing you. She's trying to tear your wall down. She is flaunting in your face your faith. You all are going to have to eat this and like it. That's difficult. You love your daughter. You'd love to have family dinner with her. But how many of you could honestly say, honey, I love you. There'll never be a day in my life I don't love you. But we are not having him here at Thanksgiving dinner. You guys are not married. You're living in sin. I'm not doing this with the children, rest of the children. I'm not doing this with the rest of the grandchildren. So you need to take him and go. And if you ever get right with God, you won't even have to tell me. I'll know it. You won't have to tell anybody. They'll see it in you. And the last thing I want to tell you, don't forget I love you enough to tell you the truth. You need somebody in your life to tell love you enough. This is why Jesus said that if you don't love him more than you love anybody else, and remember that song we sing? Let us love our God supremely. Then let us love each other too. You say, well, Reggie, there's no peace in my family. I've got this and I've got that and I've got that. But you can have peace with God in the midst of it. And you can have peace by doing right. And you can pray for them. And it doesn't mean you hate anybody. But you've got to stand. And I want to tell you right now, if you don't stand, you won't have peace. Because your Heavenly Father will be grieved at what? The Holy Ghost will be grieved at your compromising. Let me tell you something. I know we love them. But this is serious business. We don't always make the right decision. Let's go ahead. Peace. Now this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible right here. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Watch this. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. The peace that God gives is not the kind of peace. The world wants peace with compromise. Let me just tell you something right now. Ronald Reagan said, you want peace in this? You can have it as fast as you'll surrender your freedom. You want peace, you can have it. You can have a false peace just as fast as you'll surrender your faith. Just as fast as you surrender the truth, you can have a little temporary peace. Let me just tell you about Antifa, BLM, and all this garbage going on. The only peace they're going to let us have is if we surrendered all their junk. And this is one voice not surrendering. Because there'll not be any peace with that garbage going on. Let's go ahead. Therefore being justified, let's go ahead. We've hit that verse once. Thank you, boys. Watch this. This is so powerful. You want peace in 2020? To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. Life and peace. Go ahead. If it be possible, there it is. Well, I'm glad the Holy Ghost wrote that. As much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. You got a guy whose dogs keep killing your chickens. And he keeps killing your chickens. And he keeps killing your chickens. And you bought a new flock of chickens and he kills those. And so you want to start killing dogs. And maybe you have to make a trip over and say, listen, I'm your neighbor. I want to be a good neighbor to you, but you got to do something with your dogs. You know, I'm not up here preaching pie in the sky. You guys live out here every day, right? Anybody got any neighbors? Anybody got any neighbors you kind of have a little bit of problem with once in a while? Now, that's why we all want a little cabin out in the top of some mountain, 40 miles from everybody else, right? All right, the kingdom of God is not meekened with righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and what? Believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of peace shall bruise Satan, watch this, under your feet shortly. Saints, it won't be long. He's going to bruise Satan under our feet shortly. But of peace, go ahead. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. The God of love and peace shall be with you. Blessed are the peacemakers, God said. Fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness. Guys, how many verses do we like? Well, I tell you what we're going to do. It's 12:01 and I'm hungry. No, I'm not really hungry. If you want the rest of those verses, you see those boards back there and they'll give them to you. I got about 30 more. But I think you got the message. How many got the message? You got it? All right. Here's the thing. You can have peace with God in 2020, but through His Son, Jesus Christ. You can have peace internally by just having a good, clear conscience, taking care of things. You can have peace in your home by having a good switch. Oh, that ain't the only thing to bring peace. And we can have peace in here by being long-suffering to each other, considerate, very kind, listen to each other. Listen to each other. Listen. Try to understand where the people's coming from. Have peace by keeping our... God wants us to have peace. And I just want, in the midst of this old turmoil world, if your neighbors can see that you've got peace in your family, I never will forget. And not going on here, but there's a pretty high-powered preacher, if I told the name stuff, came here one time, and he stayed at Karen and I's house. I never will. My kids were little, they kind of like this. And as far as I'm concerned, he gave me one of the greatest compliments I've ever had in my life. Never will forget what he said before he left. He had stayed there two or three nights, and he'd ate dinner with us and stuff. And he said, Reggie, he said, the thing that impressed me about being here with you all is the peace that's in your home. The peace that's at your table. And I tell you what, that meant more to me than anything in the world. It really did. And I just want to encourage you. I want you people to know something. From this corner to that corner, I love you. Back to that corner. And I don't want you spent your days in turmoil. I don't want you tormented. I don't want to be tormented. I'm your pastor. I care. I love you. And just because there's division in your family sometimes doesn't mean that you don't have the peace of God. Jesus said that would happen. And you don't let yourself be played a back door by the devil on you, okay? Because if you take a stand, there's going to be division. Just don't gloat in it. Don't be super spiritual about it. Don't spiritualize it. Try to say, oh, bless God, I'm taking a stand. Nothing like that. Humble yourself and just say, Lord, help me to be a peacemaker as much as possible. But Lord, help me to never compromise your righteousness just to have peace with other people. Okay? Everybody got it? Love y'all. Once you have peace in 2020. And hope this message will help you if you're not saved. I'll be around here for a little bit. If you want to talk to me about being saved, anything, questions I can answer for you, I'll be here. If you're online, I tell you the truth about it. A drowned man don't talk very much. He grabs a rope. A man that knows he's going down to hell, wants to be saved, can reach up to Jesus' hand mighty fast. Peter did, didn't he? I like what Peter prayed when he was sinking. Brother Mayberry, he said, oh, Lord, God omnipotent. And he went through flower deals. He said, Jesus, save me. Lord, help. Fast prayer. Appreciate y'all, love y'all, and I want you to have peace, and I mean it. And I know life's difficult. I've had my go of it. Sometimes, you know what I've said, Sister Mary? Is there no peace this side of heaven? You ever think like that? Is there no peace this side of heaven? But I want to tell you something. We can have the peace of God. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give unto you. Now I want to encourage you to do something. I know the leaves ain't the prettiest out there this year. But take your wife on a drive. Take the kids on a drive. Fix you a sandwich and go down to the creek. Stick your toes in the water. This world's going to go on when you and I are gone. And they ain't going to miss us very much. Enjoy the good things that God has given you. And the things you can't fix, give them to God. And live in some peace. Let's stand. We got to go. I just want to say again, how thankful our church is for all you visitors today that came from wherever you came from. And I wished I could have all of you over for dinner, but I can't. I'm just honest with you. I can't do it. My wife would probably shoot me. There would be no peace at our home. Because she's been doing a wedding, from 9 to, and I want to say to the ladies that was there yesterday helping and everything at the wedding, thank you so much for everybody that helped and all that. And pray for me that I will not cry too much this week. Amen. All right. Brother Bill, you're awful handy right there this morning. Would you come up and dismiss us from our service today? And I want you to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.